Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
Are you back in the United States?
I'm back in the US of A. Feels great.
I feel so good. You know what? It feels like the opposite of a disturbance in the force, which I think is from Star Wars. But again,
I've always said this. Like, I remember going to UCB and starting to take improv classes and actually thinking, I don't think I can be an improviser. Like, I don't think I have a career in improv because I haven't seen the Star Wars movies.
I know. And then you're married. You're married to like a man, right? He understands the Star Wars trilogy.
He is the Star Wars trilogy.
And you know what is a real bummer? Is I married a poet. I married as far into the back into the 18th century as you can go, even 17th century.
Right.
And now during the pandemic, that fucker has found The Legends of Zelda.
God, is that a video game? What is that?
It's a fucking video game. And he turned BB onto it. And now all I hear about is bokoblins and how you slay them and a sword of something or other. And I'm like, I feel like I'm back. Like, it's like Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors, but I chose that different path, you know?
And now it changed.
Yeah, and it switched. Anyway,
that's called a bait and switch. And I will say Paul did this to me with sports too, because before Paul, I dated someone who was obsessed with sports, and every season it was something.
I find that kind of hot though.
I understand what you're saying.
I want to be like, here's your Tostitos. Who's coming over for the game? If there was a game day, if our group of friends had a Sunday game day, and I made a layer dip,
post-vax and wax.
I would love that.
No, there's something I like about that too. I can get down with like suburban life.
Yeah, I want you in a gigantic jersey.
Oh yeah,
I want you in a jersey, but a skinny little jersey. Or like when Giselle cheers for Tom Brady, and she looks
great. She's like hair is like freshly fucked, and she's just like
and she's like cheering for Poppy. Like that's hot to me.
I totally understand, but I think there's something about men watching things, and you know, I made a TikTok about this the other day, but like watching things that they're not doing. You know, not responsible for that. I think I have a negative reaction to, but before Paul, I dated someone who every weekend was something, we're watching something. And I remember asking him, do you watch sports? And he said, no.
It's not true.
And then he did the league and that changed.
Oh, interesting.
That changed.
It awakened something in him, much like The Legends of Zelda. He comes to life apparently after millions of years.
But you know what I find so interesting, Jessica, about you marrying a poet? I remember when I first came to LA, and I was always trying to get a book club off the ground. And still am. I mean, I feel like that's the reason why I created the Jane Club, was to just get a book club going that could sustain itself.
Hate book clubs.
I know. And I feel like, I don't remember this for sure, but I feel like when I tried to get a book club going where I said, we're reading a book. I mean, first of all, I put parameters around it that were so unrealistic. I said, we're reading a book every month, one book a month, and we will only be discussing the book. Because my big complaint is always no one wants to talk about the book.
I definitely don't.
I remember you didn't. And you would always say, and this is why I find it interesting that you ended up with Dan. You would always say, I don't want anything sad and I don't want anything dark.
Do you know?
And I was like, Jessica, that's a tall order.
And that's why I ended up leaving the book club, because every single book would be like the pieces of me. And it was like, would start off okay, but then someone would get their running shoes and go for a run and something terrible was going to happen to them. And I knew it. And then we were going to deal with the aftermath of it in that book. And to which I said, I wrote to you, and it was, I think in therapy, I was working on like setting boundaries, and I emailed you and Casey, or no, maybe just you, and I said, I want to be very honest with you. I love you, but I hate book clubs and I will not be attending. And you wrote me back. This is a refreshing and yet aggressive email. And I'm shocked by it because most people do a fade, do a slow fade.
A slow fade. You were angry at us.
I was. And here's, you know what,
June? Well, that's so what I find interesting, though, is that now you're so comfortable going to the depths.
Well,
but at that point, this was about 10 years ago, you didn't want to feel a thing. And I believe you said, is there any way we can make this book club about how to books? And I said, absolutely not. Like, you wanted to learn a trade.
Yeah, and I still do. But and like, Danielle, you have to be careful with Danielle Schneider, our dear, dear friend from the Bitch Sesh. If she recommends a book, if it starts out in the modern day, do not be fooled, because World War II will come into it.
Yeah,
the Blitz, hiding people, it will come into that. And it will be maybe page 161, but it's coming for you. I don't want that before bed. But here, you know, June, we're just so on the same wavelength, even though we haven't been in the same country for so long. I was astounded yesterday to realize that not only am I comfortable in the dark, but I've actually seemed to be the person people come to
with their
darkest.
Is so new.
My mother surrogate here in LA is in the process of passing away. And I didn't want to, I am reeling right now. I'm definitely, you were dysregulated last week. I am this week. But it's like, everybody has a distance from this process. I am getting minute by minute updates, and they are not scaring me. Mm. If anything, I want to be in it closer. Like and it's so bizarre because everybody around me is very protective of that. They're like, Jessica, don't get triggered. Jessica, don't go in too deep. Because if you knew me 10 years ago, this would have destroyed me. I mean, I wouldn't even. But I'm actually feeling so much like it's a privilege to be there. As you know, you've been there. But there could not be anything more disturbing. And also, the one thing I'm finding it hard to do is to pop in and out of daily life. And then facing mortality, either your own or someone else's. That's a very weird toggle. So, but I'm shocked at that. This must have been, you know, my soul's path. It must have been.
Sure.
Because here I am.
It has been a calling. And that's what I'm so, I mean, that's what, the podcast is called The Deep Dive. Like that's what's so shocking to me. And because you didn't want to go near anything sad for a long time. And that's also why I find it interesting that you married Dan, a poet who is quite comfortable walking through the underworld. And you wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot stick.
No. And, you know, it limited my ability to be close to people, to certain people. Mm. Because I didn't want to hear it. And when people would go sad, like I remember my childhood best friend was having a hard time, you know, post-graduation, whatever. And I would be like, well, you should be positive. Like, you shouldn't be crying so much. And she was like, oof. Fuck you. But like,
well, I do think there is, like, I think that there's a cultural sort of that kind of like toxic positivity, I think, is really real. And it's harmful for folks because. It really is. Like,
yeah.
I think that, I don't know. And it's hard. Like, it's hard to know what people need in the moment, too, because there were times where, when my dad was really sick, everybody knows Retta because she's just so fantastic. Retta's friendly with my sister, and Retta's mom, you know, was, very involved in like praying for my dad and this and that. And she was the one who gave us the saying of only believe. And I really needed it at that time. And it was so positive. And so I do think there are times where we need positivity on a level that's like coming from some, like pulling it from somewhere else.
Well, you remember why not when we would, when my husband was sick and, you know, deck was stacked against him, you said, why not Dan? Somebody is going to make it in this percentage. Why not Dan? And we used that as like our battle cry, and I needed that. You're right. And you need to know, because you do not want to be crying more than the person who started crying first.
For sure.
Don't and cry
then,
more.
Right. And then there are times where people need to like level set and say, this is happening and this is bad. And I need you to just be with me in the reality of how bad this is. And they don't want to really hear about how it might turn around and how my thinking. I mean, I will say that there are things around like the secret and all of that positive thinking where I actually find can be really damaging to people who, like, my mom died very suddenly. And when people would say like, oh, you know, stuff like you just have to believe that things are going to work out. And I'd be like, you know what? Go fuck yourselves. Something terrible happened and there's no rhyme or reason to it. And
we're saying negativity gave you this.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you.
Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Because they think it's really damaging. And even people who, and I'm curious how you think about the language around like cancer survival, because even that idea of like, you're a fighter, you're a warrior, you're a survivor. I'm like, well, my dad fought. My mom would have loved to have fought. And it almost puts a damp, and I really struggle with that.
I hate the word fight. I hate the word battle, lose the battle. Fuck you.
Right.
I wasn't strong enough to fucking fight this thing. And yet there is this thing of like, I did summon that kind of, we're going to kick its ass. And that's great. But I hate the word survivor. I hate it. I hate it because what about the, there is no rhyme or reason to it. And so you, to say that you're somehow better than the next, although I don't think anyone would, but I think it makes that person feel that way. You got lucky. That's true. You got lucky. You didn't fight harder than somebody else. You didn't. And life, I don't listen. And we talked to Casey about this, which is, and I have been just so deep into this feeling of, you know, your light team, the people who have passed that surround you, that help you. And Laura Lynn Jackson, this psychic that Casey went to go see that we all have become kind of obsessed with, but her idea that we have different doors. We all have these doors we can exit and we either take them or we don't. And so sometimes these doors don't make sense to us, right? We can't comprehend that. So you can't positive your way around that. Good people die young, bad people stay alive forever. Like there's just, that's just true. Now, why they exited, we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're always going to, June, I'm so sorry. I feel like I'm going to be such a downer this morning because I just, you know, I feel like I'm just in that moment of like, you're always going to want one more day with that person. One more minute.
Absolutely. Well, and I know that you are walking with something really, really heavy and really sad right now. I'm so sorry.
No, I'm not. I'm literally, and you know what's funny is I'm not sorry for myself. I'm sorry for the people who are, for the woman who's losing her mom, you know, and I've been thinking a lot about that, like how, you know, we give birth, right? And it's a painful experience, right? To give birth is painful. I've never heard of anyone, except for my grandmother, who after the 14th baby, apparently they had to tell her she was in labor because she'd be like, wait, what?
They were just
They were sliding out this way and that. And that sounds pleasant, but it's painful to give birth and it's painful to leave this earth.
Yes.
For the most part. And I've been watching my friend help her mother leave, and she's a mother. And I said, you are delivering her to the next world. And it is painful, but I believe she won't remember it. you know, your mother won't remember. She's going to, this is like a blip in her life, just like giving birth is a blip. Mm-hmm. And you don't, can't recall that pain because it doesn't matter anymore. You have this baby.
Right. That's a beautiful way to put it, Jess. That's a beautiful way to put it.
Watching this relationship play out is one of the most, the biggest gifts to watch how they're present for each other, you know?
I mean, again, I'm just going to remark, Jess, this is not who you were 10 years ago. I think like the closest, back. Like the threshold for you was like Anne of Green Gables. Like that was where
I just even had that,
there were parts
forward.
Of Anne of Green Gables.
When, now, did when we Matthew host an dies, ice cream?
Yes, there, Matthew
fast
dies.
Fast forward.
We I did host forward. An ice cream social. Whose house was that at?
That was
Do you remember
Jocelyn.
That, Jess?
Yes, and I decided we'd host it at her home again. A
as
theme.
You want to do,
she
as your
beautifully
want
appointed
do.
Home, didn't she?
Yes, she did. I remember it. I remember it because I mean, I think I was like 27 and walking into that house, and I was living like on a mattress.
That's right.
You know, with like a journal. But I remember.
Casey.
I remember walking into that home and seeing like carpet on like an island. And
she
like,
had, I remember what was grown up was having sconces on either side of your bed. If you had an electrician come and put a sconce in the wall.
Oh, wow.
And maybe even a nail head, like an upholstered. I mean, at this point, am I remembering this correctly that Casey had a shopping cart in her room that she had her dirty laundry in?
I blame myself for this. And Casey writes about it in her book, her beautiful book, The Wreckage of My Presence. But Casey writes about this in her book. And I really do take full responsibility. I let that happen, Jess.
How did you get it up the stairs? Because I don't think it was a ground floor apartment.
Our dear friend Laura took it up. It was sort of abandoned outside of her apartment building on Cahuenga, at the Cahuenga Pass.
It was one of the darkest, saddest
corners
of LA. And she had a beagle. And she had a beagle.
Pumpkin. I'll never
that
forget.
Had fleas or some pumpkin. Sort of a skin disorder.
Well, Pumpkin was on. No, that was Duffy. Duffy was the dog that came after Pumpkin. Pumpkin was a beagle puppy that Casey got. And again, I blame myself. I'm like, why did I let my best friend carry a shopping cart up to her home in throes of grief? And then why did I let her get a puppy? Like, I didn't know, you know? So she
Don't
got this beagle
yourself.
Puppy.
Don't blame yourself.
And then Casey was going back home to see her family. And I was tasked with driving her to LA. And she went to go check in. And I was sitting, like, curbside with Pumpkin, who was like, like, Pumpkin was all
it
over
was
the place.
Because you were not fit. Neither one of you were fit parents
Jessica.
For this dog. It had no
Jessica.
Boundaries. It had no boundaries.
Oh, it was so very wrong. And Casey, when you're grieving.
Yeah, you make weird choices.
You make terrible choices. And I'm going to tell you about something that I'm up to right now, which is couldn't be stranger. But when you're grieving, grieving is work.
Yeah.
And it takes energy.
Yeah.
And you don't have anything left over for a puppy. And so I take full responsibility. But I remember sitting at LAX with Pumpkin on my lap, who was going crazy. And it was getting so hot in the car. And I opened up the door of my Toyota Corolla, the window, and Pumpkin. And left this out? Was like LAX, like cars are zooming
oh,
by me.
Oh, God, this is terrible.
Oh, it's horrible. And Pumpkin launched himself out that
well,
window.
Well, they're jumpers. They're meant to follow a fox. We've all seen Downton Abbey. They're meant to leap over a brook.
Exactly. And I grabbed Pumpkin by the ass and was holding onto his ass. The rest of him. And I was so scared. And I had my other hand on the window, but I was like so scared of also like trapping him there and killing him with the window. And I was like, oh my God, do I open it up more? Do I open it up less? Like, I just know that I cannot. Pumpkin's about to die.
Oh
Pumpkin
my God.
Is about to die.
And we can't have another death at this point.
No, we cannot. And by some grace of God, I got Pumpkin back in that car. But Casey came back and I was like, Casey, this dog, man, like I almost killed Pumpkin. Like, please take him. Like, this is too much.
It's too much. And,
it was so terrible. And then she took Pumpkin on the flight. I remember this story. She took Pumpkin on that flight. And as she was walking down the aisle, I think she, I'm sure she was like hiding it and hadn't paid for him. And she was walking down the aisle with Pumpkin and just pissed all over the place. So yeah, we weren't fit. Now, you are deep divers. You might hear another dog in the background of this episode because Meatball is sitting by my feet. Oh. But now I'm in a, and I love dogs, and I'm in a place now, of course, yes, where this is appropriate.
Right. It, of course.
But you know, 24.
You can't do it. But I will say that the need to get a puppy, you know, you see all the pandemic puppies around.
Yeah.
And they are adorable. And I actually, in the throes of grief about my friend, we had a pandemic puppy that didn't work out because, thank God, my daughter was allergic. So she had to go back to the beautiful rescuers because that dog had crazy in its eyes. But I then
That was a puppy.
It was a Chihuahua puppy. It was out. It was out to destroy us. And so luckily it's with another beautiful, loving home.
Yes. But which then, is the right choice.
It's the right choice. Then, as I'm in the throes of losing my friend, I don't tell Dan. I contact a man on Craigslist who has what he says is a multi-poo puppy. Oh. I take $900 out of a little satchel because Casey called me in the beginning of the pandemic and was like, they're draining the banks of gold. Go and take out $1,000 in cash because the revolution is cut. And I did it. And I had this little satchel of money. So I secretly took the $900. I was like, I'll be right back. And Dan's like, where are you going? I'm like, just taking a walk. And whenever I lie like that, you know, something bad's happening. And I met a man in Douglas Park.
What are you talking about?
And I was going to purchase this puppy for $900. Now, it turned out he was living in his car.
All this out. This is
he was living in his car.
Terrible.
We're not cutting it. So I then, to my friend, my mother surrogate, who I visited her bedside, and she usually weighs in on big life decisions. Now, she is currently on a tremendous amount of morphine, so I couldn't bother her with it. And I said, Lila, I tried to buy a puppy for $900 from a man who lived in his car. And she said, you know, Jessica, out of all the people that I'm leaving that I love so much. And I leaned forward because I thought this was our moment, right? This was the moment I was going to remember forever. I said, yes, Lila. She goes, you're the one I worry about the most.
I said, me too.
Join the club.
Me too.
Oh my God.
And I came home and I was like, Dan, I need this puppy. You don't care about my joy. I need this. And he was, you've lost your mind. You want something. You want to feel something else.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't get the puppy. Thank goodness. And
goodness.
It turns out it wasn't. First of all, a deep divers, adopt, don't shop. Like, we should never be purchasing dogs.
No, that's the other thing. How many?
Yeah, we should never be purchasing dogs.
My dog is a rescue. My dog is a rescue. But here's the deal. You can't get a rescue dog right now. Not within 24 hours. So I needed I needed
a rush rescue.
Wanted this rush. And I also, I said, I wanted to present it to you, Lila, the dog. And she goes, I don't want a fucking dog on me. I'm on my deathbed.
Oh, Jess, I'm so glad that you did not purchase that puppy. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Listen, I think it's really hard to know when we're grieving, when we're in the process of actually like a living grief, which you're in, you know, it is really hard to know what's going to feel right.
Right.
And so we try to go with the things and that feel good. And that felt good right then. Like, I saw Casey get that beagle puppy, you know, and right now I'm scouring Craigslist.
Oh, no.
For what? For what?
Well, dude?
I'm scouring Craigslist, CarMax, all sorts of used car dealers for the specific Lexus sedan made in 2011 that my father drove. Now, after my dad died, there was a decision made about his car, which was he hasn't paid off this car. So the payments were like $300 a month. But so it makes no sense for anybody to take this car. Now, I loved this car. I drove my dad around in it.
I understand the dad car. It has one of those little evergreen, your dad always hangs a scent thing in case he smokes a cigar or something in the car. Yes. And it's got the seats. And maybe this leather was like seats. The first generation that could warm up the seats. And it's luxury and, it's your dad.
And it was my dad's car. And it wasn't even like a new Lexus. Like when he got it, it was used. But it was very specifically, it's about the wheel. Which was this
leather
wood? No, it was like this wood lacquered smooth.
Yes.
Okay. So at that time, when all this was happening, I talked about it last episode about like my business manager came to Long Island. We're selling my house that I grew up in. We're like dealing with all the stuff, and there was a decision made by all of us, which was we'll bring the car back to the dealership. Like nobody's gonna keep this car. And I did say to Paul, now this has been a source of contention between us. I did say to him, I want it.
Definitely blame Paul for this.
I will blame him. And he was like, well, we have a car. And you have a car. And I was like, I know, but I want it. And he was like, but how will we get it to Los Angeles? I mean, there were so many questions. And I was like, I don't know, but I want it. And I let a bunch of people convince me that those it was jerks. The wrong decision. And how I said, okay. And then the car was picked up and towed away. Now, horrible. And then when I tell you, I haven't stopped thinking about that car. Like you've seen me lost in thought, just staring out into space.
It's
know
how to
that
get
I'm
that
thinking
car
about
back.
A Lexus ES like 510 or whatever the hell it's called.
I think
like,
my father, and I'm about. Not joking you, I think he drove that car. Or maybe it was an
I'll
Infiniti.
Send you a picture of it.
An Infiniti.
Infiniti, they're very similar breeds.
Similar sedan. He was always in a sedan because my dad said, listen, I'm in sales. You have to believe
like
that I'm doing well in a sedan.
Okay. So when I was in Canada, actually, the first time I looked into this was 2 years ago, and I thought, I wonder if they ever sold that car. Like, is it possible that the dealership still has it? And I went on a hunt, and I found that actual car, because I had the VIN number. Now, that actual car is in Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Probably okay. One of my relatives. I could get down there.
Okay, but I don't have the name of the person who has it, because I would make an offer to get that car. That particular car back. So, but I can see via my like web sleuthing where like that car has been registered at the DMV and it was like brought back to the DMV to get either new plates on it or the smog check or something in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. So I know it's there. And, but I have no idea who it belongs to. So then I said to Paul, like, if I can't get that particular car, I'm going to get the same exact car. So, and here's what I'll say about all of this is I know it's crazy.
It's not.
But what, like, I just
what's
don't.
Crazy?
What's crazy? And that's what I'm saying about your decision to go get that puppy. It's like.
That was crazy.
And that actually was crazy. But there are times when people just need to be okay with the fact that life is crazy, happened is crazy, we are living in a state of chaos at all times. If paying $300 a month to have a car that I never drive, that sits in our driveway, that really doesn't have many miles left on it, was it the right decision or the wrong decision? Like, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
It was part of my grieving process. And now I'm having to go back and try to find it.
Well, here's what I'll ask, too. I know now your mother has obviously come through, and we'll talk about that later. But do you hear from your dad much?
So interesting you say that. I actually, I had something happen, which I can't go into in great detail, but I had something happen where I needed to genuinely ask, like, where would you have me go? Oh, Lord, what would you have me do? Like, I had to truly, and it had to do with my dad. And I did spend some time, like, asking. And I felt like I got an answer. And I felt like I could move forward. Okay. But, you know, I really, it's funny, I really feel very connected to my parents, both of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So is he coming through? You know, unfortunately, my father for a long time was coming through as a bumblebee, which is hard because, of course, I would get stung. Right. And then,
like, well, your my dad mother was come a through boisterous, as a beautiful he wasn't going to. Yeah, he's not going to come as like something gentle, you know, that would rest upon you, that would light upon you.
But it was tough. Like when we were outside the church at my dad's funeral, his casket was surrounded in bees. Now, he was a Seabee, which is part of the Navy where they like go and build barracks and are sort of the construction end. And he had a big giant bumblebee tattoo, which I bought him on his 60th birthday. So when we saw his casket surrounded by bees, I was like, oh, that's crazy.
That's his symbol. Great.
And then I literally came back to L.A. One of the first things that happened was I stepped on a bee and my foot blew up. And then... And I was just like, dude, like, my dude, like, that's a tough way to say hello.
I know, but he was like, I'm going to make sure he was totally gone.
And he was taking the piss.
Yes. You know? Of course. That's an Irish dad's way of saying, like,
sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm here. I'm here.
Like, yeah, I'm here and I'm going to sting you. It was just, it's a tough way to arrive. And then just this morning when I came back to LA from Canada, my sister gave me a sunflower kit to make this pot of sunflowers because my mother loves sunflowers. And out of the blue, Sam, my youngest, comes over to me and he goes, you know what's attracted to sunflowers? And I go, what? He goes, bumblebees.
Oh, I got chills.
Yeah, it was sweet. But the moral of the story is like, And then Paul started texting me links because now he started to understand, like, oh, this car is not about the car.
You know? I love that Paul gets that.
He gets that. But then he started sending me links of like how I can find that actual car, this car and that car and what cars look similar and the make and model. And I said, I love you and I thank you for this. It's not about also getting the car right now. It's about me spending time on this special interest I have, which is searching for the car.
Yes.
I know this is insane.
Because it sounds like you just recently did need to ask your dad. And I think you still are needing to be in that. That's your conversation with him.
Yes.
Whatever's happening, and maybe it is soothing, maybe it's a little dissociating, which I do enjoy.
Oh,
I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I love to lose an hour and a half pinning.
Oh, on a Google
different
search. Yes.
Today, I dissociated with how to Frenchify your morning.
What did you learn, Jess?
Oh, well, set your
mornings
tray
are
out
like really chaotic in this house. And I need some help in the mornings.
I'm shoving pancakes into my 7-year-old. I'm feeding her like a baby because we didn't wake up in time. I'm like, you gotta go. And she goes, I don't like how I'm feeling inside. And I was like, get out of the car. You know, like so. So, yeah, but yeah, you got to put out a tray with all beautiful china and you know, they love in Europe, they do love to set the morning the night before, right?
That's always a challenging area for me.
And sometimes don't do the dishes like I, you know, yes,
same.
But I want to be that person. But anyway, yeah. So I pinned a lot of different how to Frenchify your mornings and they take time with their toilette, you know, with their skincare, which obviously you do. I don't know when you squeeze in the time to put your eyes on.
I don't have any makeup on right now, honey.
Believe me, I know. I gotta look at it. I want you to come a little correct for me.
I told you this is the reason why I'm doing a podcast, Jess, and this is how you're gonna find me here. So, Jess, this is the birth of our new podcast. And it felt great. We're here. Yeah. We made it. Mm-hmm. And we are about to talk to Danielle Schneider about birth stories, hers, We don't get into ours, but we're going to do a follow-up to talk about our own birth stories. Because as you said once, you know, similar to how I need to spend that time in the hut and I need to put it on the calendar, I wish you would join me. We do need to, every woman, person who's given birth really does need to spend a weekend away processing what happened, good, bad, and otherwise. Danielle, we're back.
Welcome.
We're so happy to have you.
Round two.
Third time. Well, kind of third time's a charm.
The fact that you're here, you're with us.
Yes.
With your busy life.
It's a testament to our friendship.
Yes. And to just introduce you fully, Danielle Schneider, our dear, dear friend who we have done so wrong on this podcast. Really one of our closest. Mm-hmm. A phenomenal writer.
Yes.
A phenomenal actor.
Hell yes.
Correct. You've heard her words
on person. Shows like Black Monday, yes. I'm Sorry, Always mm-hmm. Sunday. You've heard her voice on the Bitch Sesh podcast, of course. You've mm-hmm. seen her acting.
My favorite role you ever did, Pally.
Oh, Champagne Ill.
Champagne Ill. My God.
I don't know
you
if anyone
played you Adam Pally's sister. YouTube. On Champagne Ill. If you have not seen Champagne Ill, by the way, plug for that show.
You too.
Does it still exist?
Anyway,
yeah,
it can be seen everything anywhere at this point.
Physically, Danielle, I would say, embodies the French gamine.
Oh.
I'm not saying that right. She's always in a striped top.
I'm never
her
not.
Her body is outrageous.
I know. Thank you.
And I'm proud to report that this past week I saw more of it.
You did.
Because you guys went on a warm vacation together. And did you get to see her in a bikini? Because I get to see it a lot because we go to the beach often. Mm-hmm. Many times off season.
Yes.
And I've seen what she has to offer at all times. And it makes me feel so bad.
No.
But what God has given her, it's like, you know, when you used to see the making of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue on
God,
HBO
when we were
younger? These girls don't have to work out. They don't. They are born with it.
I will say I work out. I work out.
And I will also report something that Brooklyn Decker told me about Sports Illustrated.
Because she was
a Sports Illustrated model. And she said that when you show up for the shoots, the first thing they do is start to feed you hamburgers and fries. Now, maybe
really?
This is a different time, but she said that what happens is women show up too thin.
Wow. And they want you.
They want the curves.
They want the curves.
And she was shot by, I can't remember the name of the photographer.
She's so beautiful.
By another woman who, the photographer was a woman. She's in a bikini.
She's in a bikini.
I want to see that.
I want to see that.
And
so
that
bad.
The entire shoot, she just felt so sexy and voluptuous.
That's the way to do it.
Yes, that is the way to do it. Yes. Anyway, point is, that's what it looks like when
you
go to the beach with Danielle.
Well, and Danielle, I'm going to say something. I hope I'm not making you uncomfortable.
No, I feel very comfortable right now.
I always find it interesting to see what people choose for bathing suits.
Okay. Really? It reveals a lot.
It reveals a lot about a person because
I never thought of this.
Well, because you're dressed beautifully. Yeah. It's
very
chic.
French chic.
Mm-hmm. Very,
always in like always. A ballet flat, mm-hmm.
like striped top, little skinny jean.
A lot of neutral colors.
Yes.
Lots of neutral.
Sometimes a little worn motorcycle jacket.
And timeless.
Yes.
And when I saw you in a bikini, I saw a different side of you.
She goes
and that side was
she
string,
goes string
and magenta.
Magenta!
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
String-a-ling-ding.
String-a-ding-a-ding-dong.
You know, because there's also the Florida girl in me.
Yes.
And
I was happy to see
her come
out.
About her.
Don't forget that she, Danielle, used to go to Daytona Beach on mm-hmm. spring break when she was in high school?
Yeah.
With the bikers?
No. It was like a spring break.
Week. No, yeah, she used to participate in spring break as a high school student.
Yeah, like we would go, we would do things. Like, and then, like, because like, it's Florida. It's culture.
Florida.
So you're in a bikini
period
all
full
the
stop.
Time. So there, and that girl wears magenta. You know, that girl isn't afraid to walk around in a bikini. And then I start to kind of get nervous because I see other people in cover-ups and I'm like, oh, am I? But the Florida girl in me just gets in a bikini.
Danielle.
And owns it.
Yeah.
And it's not like a J. Crew number.
Mm-mm.
No, this is a string of ding ding.
Yeah,
I told
this
you.
Is like a Ron John surf shop.
Yes,
number.
This isn't like you're not afraid this that is your a top's gonna
this
come off
This is a sex
surf.
Wax.
It is.
If you guys remember those brands.
I was so happy to
Thank
see that
you.
Because you know who's inside me.
Who's at Long Island?
Long Island.
Long Island.
Always.
Always.
Yes.
I wouldn't say she's and so always though, inside. She spends more time out than she does
yes,
in.
But I would say my out. Florida girl is buried deep, but she does come out at the beach. She comes
wow.
out at the beach.
It's an appropriate setting
yes,
for her, of
but,
course.
And so she's there.
Listen, rather see her there than on the red carpet.
Yes. No. On red carpet, you know me. Yeah. I don't get it much, but at the beach.
I thought maybe we would see like a... you know, one of those scallop
like
suits that everyone's
yes.
wearing or like
yeah.
A black one piece with like a little off the shoulder yeah. that I'm seeing yeah. a yeah. lot these days.
Yeah.
Maybe a striped J. Crew yeah. number.
No, you will no. not see that.
I had a magenta. I had a yellow, a bright yellow.
That's crazy.
And I had a like a hot red with blue.
I love the idea of having that other self and letting her out.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, they come out in their natural habitats.
They do. I'm trying to think what my other self is.
Well, you're Jersey.
Here's the deal, though. I on the exterior, you would think I'm a very, like a wasp.
Very
like, I play
so.
The wasp,
yes,
right?
Yes, you do.
But I'm straight Jersey. So
more because I don't get to see this as much as I'd like
well,
to.
Well, I wasn't allowed to really embrace my New Jersey. If I had had my way, I would have had a perm. I would have had the crunchy bangs. Okay. I would have worn makeup early.
And
I instead was
your
in
mother
a turtleneck,
just Claire
kilt,
out of you, and the Hugh Grant, yeah, haircut.
And the Hugh Grant haircut. Okay, but my ideal man is David Lee Roth.
What? And that's why my ideal man is
yes, Bon Jovi.
Like a. Is like Shep from Southern Charm. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like
I
you know what I mean? Like,
yes,
I do
like
understand.
A Southern frat boy hang it like, and it's
who's like, could you fetch another cold one?
Yeah,
out
get
of the
me
back
a beer.
There,
we're gonna
yeah.
go up to the Siget party or what? You know what
yes.
I mean? Like that. And so I did not marry that because
no,
I and,
no, nor did I.
The guy I sort of lusted after and still find yes. myself salivating over is
a bad boy.
A gross frat boy.
Yeah.
Who like dresses up for the formal but is mostly comfortable at the beach.
At the beach.
Wow. See, I think where my okay, so where I have to really restrain myself mm-hmm. is like the Long Island girl inside of me wants like acrylic French
oh,
tips.
Oh, I love
it.
Mean,
you know, my nails right now, they are, I have kind of just a regular pink neutral base.
But.
And that, but.
But. A sparkle shellac.
A sparkle.
This is Long
French.
Island.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
On my plane on the way home yesterday, I saw some girls that were like from New York, New Jersey,
yeah.
big old nails. I could not dial yeah. a phone or a computer
that's,
for the
that's
life.
That's where I am.
And it just like kind of playing with the yeah. nails.
Yes,
like,
it's sexy. And Danielle, I've never found you more sexual than in Real Housewives of Orlando
yes,
that you did.
When I was Jersey.
When you were very Jersey.
Yes.
And, like,
and I've never felt more sexy.
Exactly.
I was like, I've never looked as good.
Let's get into some of the nitty gritty. Danielle, this... Well, first of all, we never explained that we did have you on for a very lengthy and very emotional interview,
we
then realized we were not recording. That was our first foray.
Well, it wasn't that we weren't recording. It was that at that time, my sound engineer skills were not
at what they are
where
now.
They are now.
That's right. So the audio was unusable.
It was unusable. There was audio.
Great.
We could hear Jessica. We could hear me. Unfortunately, Danielle, you're cracked.
I would have loved to have heard that podcast and just assumed, like, let's let the listener fill in the blank what I was saying.
But the theme.
Well, you did drop a bomb.
You drop a bomb on us, which I'm going to make you drop again.
Okay.
Because it was really rocked us to our core. But mm-hmm. but the theme of the show, because it mm-hmm. is birth and your own journey towards getting pregnant
mm-hmm.
was fraught mm-hmm. and a difficult one.
Yes.
And I wanted you to share a little bit about that. And what it feels like now, I was thinking about birth also in the fact that we are now, you are 40, June just turned. Okay, we let it out there.
There it is.
Did we want it out there?
Do we want to back it up?
No, we don't. We don't.
Why would we?
I don't think so, but I just want to make sure.
Fresh. Okay, it's fresh, but 40.
Fresh, just born. A newborn.
You're a foal. You are picking your way 40. Through the dew. But yes. 40. 40s yes. is where it gets
yes.
good, baby.
Well,
it's nice to hear.
I will say, and that's where, when I started to feel that bomb that I dropped was in my 40s.
Which is
that I like myself.
I never not hear this me.
Without wanting to I run do. Out of the room screaming. I like myself.
Oh, wow.
I want to jump out a window.
As shocking now as it was back then.
I
it's
do.
It's even crazier to hear the second time.
Because I don't take it back. In fact, I double
no,
down
you stand
on
behind it.
Take me through this, Danielle, because also the people who don't know Danielle, she's one of the most self-effacing people. Like, Danielle is like all about service to other people, uh-huh. her friends. She's the most loyal friend in the world. She yes. is not the person who's screaming from the rooftops how phenomenal she is, although she could. She keeps this body under wraps when she should be in a bikini all the time. Out. Tell me how you got there.
I think it dealt with, so much insecurity in my 20s and my 30s. You know, my 20s was all about just figuring out who I was. My 30s was trying to figure out like my career and my family life. Mm-hmm. And I figured a lot of that out. Like, I'm not saying it's perfect and that I don't have more aims and goals, but I started to go, oh, I like what I've become. I like my life. I like what I've made of it. I like the choices I've made. They're not perfect. I still have frustrations and I still get mad at myself, but I know that my instincts are good. Mm. And I know that I'm trying to do unto others. And I know that, like, I do my best at everything.
Oh,
I do.
I'm going to say something, too.
What?
I like myself.
Good. Good. We should like ourselves.
We should. I enjoy being mean.
Yes.
God, I like myself, too.
Good.
I'm proud of myself.
Yes, you should be.
And I'm proud of myself.
You should.
Because we have all, now my mother once said that us as a group of girlfriends, we have had our fair share of challenges
yes.
in our lives.
Correct.
Maybe more than is normal.
we've all been through some stuff. And
we have been through
stuff. I don't
think
that you get to 40. I think Casey said this to me, who's not yet 40, but she said this to me. It's like, you don't get to 40 without living some hard truths of life.
That's right.
And stuff that you could never expect.
Never imagine.
Never imagine coming up and happening, but you live through it and you do come out the other side. And so then you're like, I survived something.
Yes. Big. I survived it. You are, I think, so blown away by who you are, what you can survive and overcome, and the good parts of you that come out during it, and also of your friends.
Oh, yeah.
And who rally around you. And then to say, God, we went through that and we're here we are and we can enjoy. I think one of the reasons we do enjoy ourselves so much when we're together and we enjoy ourselves as people is that it, you know, when the light breaks through the clouds, you got to celebrate that.
Yeah. And I think also the fertility journey into that is like, that was one of the first really hard things. Luckily, I will say luckily in my life, that was one of the first really hard things I have to face. Because if you're in your 30s and you haven't had to go any, you know, you have small traumas here and there, but like.
But that was the first time.
But that was the first time where I was like, oh, this is really hard. And so I feel lucky to have made it that far. Obviously, I've gone through harder things since.
And there will be harder things.
Oh, yeah. But that was a lesson.
Take us through what happened. So you tried to, you thought you were going to get pregnant.
Of course. I've been on birth control forever. I want all that money back. All that money back that I spent on birth control because it wasn't cheap. And so then I think I was probably, I don't know, early to mid 30s that I was like, okay, we're married. Let's do this. It shouldn't be hard. Everybody else I know is popping them out.
Right.
And
I just assumed I would get pregnant right away, which is so silly.
Well, because you spend your whole 20s and 30s and your teens going, I hope I'm not pregnant. I mean, how many times did you go to a Walgreens and make your gay best friend go in and buy a pregnancy test? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then suddenly you want to get pregnant and boops, it's not that easy for everybody.
Okay. And so he's tried and tried and tried and nothing. Right. And I took a ton of tests and they couldn't figure it out. You know, they did. There wasn't a reason. And that's really hard, too, because at least when there's a reason, sometimes there's a solution to the problem.
Right.
But there wasn't a problem we could find. So there wasn't a solution. Mm-hmm. So it was just, it started a 3-year journey of trying many different chemicals and shots and things, and none of it working.
All expensive, all not paid for by the government. Thank you. If we go to Germany, insurance. By the way, it's paid for.
Oh, yeah. If you go to a lot of places, it's all paid for. But anyway, tried a bunch of things, miscarried, got pregnant, miscarried, but early on. But it was still a devastation because it was like a final glimmer of hope. But I hadn't seen a heartbeat or anything like that yet, but still a devastation, which you guys probably remember because I've been trying so hard, you know?
Right.
And then luckily did IVF and just put in one embryo. Mm-hmm. I had wanted to put in like 7.
We were glad you only put in one.
Because I was so desperate and scared. Yes. And then I was just like, put them all in. Like, put anything. Put in other people's. Whatever you want
to be the octomom. I don't think
my body would have taken it very well. But and my husband luckily was like, let's just give this one a try. And then and then I got pregnant and I got lucky. And but it was so scary. The whole pregnancy, especially the first trimester, was my husband said, like, every time he would go to the doctor, he would feel like he was going to a funeral because I was just like, this is
I'm not looking at that monitor. When you're told over and over again, your brain wants to prepare.
And then and let me say this, that I know that other women's journeys have been much longer and much more fraught than mine. So I am, people always say, oh, you forget. No, I don't forget a day of this. I didn't forget a day of it. I feel like it made me so grateful. I am very aware of what it took to bring my daughter into this world. Mm-hmm. And I don't forget any of it.
No, you cherish every, because I do co-parent with you quite frequently, but if not every weekend, but you cherish every single second with your child.
Is she at a camp today? Yes.
Yeah, she should be. She should be.
Because I've spent 3 weeks with her.
Yes.
But no, I am very grateful and I'm very aware. But I was also, during that process, I had to be really at peace because a lot of my friends were having babies easily at the time.
And you said to us that you were not jealous, because I wondered if that's a big thing. Like, you know, other people, I know I was a mean sucker, and you guys remember this. When I had cancer and no one else did, I remember sitting on the beach with my mother in New Hampshire, and I was flipping angrily through a Better Homes and Gardens, looking at all these other women who had 3 and 4 kids and cancer-free and, you know, diamonds on their ears from their banker Boston husbands. And I was like, must be nice. Must be nice. And my mother said, you know, you're not a very pleasant person to spend time with right now. And I said, good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Again, mine wasn't, you know, like, I don't think I'm some good person. I'm not saying I didn't have jealousy or wants, but I didn't think there was just one baby and that the one person gets it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I wasn't one of those things. Thinking. I was just like, just because she gets pregnant.
Doesn't mean I won't.
Because I remember at the time, like, Kim Kardashian had just gotten pregnant and Kate Middleton had gotten pregnant with the Future King.
Right.
And a part of me was like, but then I was like, when I would start to feel it, I was like, what do they have to do with me? Like,
That's very evolved of you.
But it was, I'm not saying like I was, you know me, I'm not that evolved, but I think there was something in my mind frame that was like, just because there's not one to go around. Like, it didn't feel like.
Correct. Yeah. It was correct.
I will say this for anybody out there struggling right now. Even when I've seen people like at the end of their rope who have gone through everything, who have tried and lost, and at the end of the day, they have all had their babies in one way or another.
That's right.
They will. And I remember, I think it was Jess, you said this to me and you wrote it on a piece of paper and I stuck it on my wall. Your baby is out there. And so I don't know how, but anyone who I know who has wanted a child of their own has gotten it.
That's beautiful. I know, Danielle, you just had a tarot card reading from our dear friend Kulap.
Yes, I had an amazing reading.
Kulap was doing beachside readings.
She was.
Listen, it
was
a beach.
This is like getting Botox from somebody in a van.
No, it's not.
Kulap a registered and a licensed
any of
tarot card?
Are there a license? Are please. How many of? I will say she is a good friend, and she has no. Listen to me.
I can't.
She. Right as she was about to do my reading, she just happened to find a book on the beach about witchcraft. And I was like, it found you. I said, you didn't find that book, Kulap. It found you.
How dare you question Kulap?
I won't tell her this. I hope she doesn't have to hear
it's
this.
Just
I
might
have to delete
Casey
this.
Casey has a gift certificate to go see a wizard.
Yeah,
She's training to be a
Casey's
psychic.
Casey's apparently an empath.
I want to know if you tell me Kulap has gone to tarot card reading school.
There is not a school. You don't just... The days of old. Did the witches of old go to school?
I don't let somebody operate on my nails who hasn't gone to cosmetology school.
That's a different thing.
So I want people to train. That's all I'm saying.
All you need to train for this is life and a want and to be born with it. You're born with it. It's not Maybelline.
Life and a wand, which also would be what if you was like, I have a wand.
Guess what?
Purse.
If she came to you with a wand, I'd be like, okay.
Okay, so what did she say? Sorry, give us the good.
So she really had it, like we did sort of past, present, future.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
And the past was like all, and it was funny because I didn't ask for past, present, future. And then right But I asked for the other one, which was like a problem and then an answer to the solution.
Yeah.
But somehow we started doing past, present, future. And she's like, wait, I've made a mistake. But I was like, no. Let's go with this. This is not a mistake. This is what I needed to hear. And basically she talked about the past and like there was the first card she pulled. I can't remember the name of it, but there were these like little skeletons around this thing. And it was just like.
It's a beautiful deck of cards.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Stunning.
And my second card, which was a goddess card, had Elizabeth Taylor.
Actual
as Cleopatra, as Cleopatra.
Again, licensed, is this certified?
Nobody's a certified tarot card reader. But I will say that she talked a lot about, in my present, the femininity and the goddess and using my feminine strength. And that is something I've needed right now of just pulling it forward to me and seeing it as a strength and embodying it more and not being afraid of my feminine goddess power.
Well, you and I, Danielle and June, are so close to our fathers. Mm-hmm. I think we were very, there's a very strong masculine energy in all three of us.
I don't feel masculine.
Jesus Christ. Okay, Danielle and I then.
I
understand.
And I've talked
to
Kulap. Don't
bring me into the masculine. Yeah.
No, I think of you as very feminine.
Thank you, Danielle. No, feminine. But do you know what I mean in terms of, you know, being a boss lady and working and summoning that can feel...
But to me, that feels feminine.
That feels natural, especially when you told me that story about the taxi.
What?
That woman we went to see that did our taxes. You were like 24 and you were like, this isn't going to be okay.
Oh, yeah. I went to get my taxes done.
Years ago.
Like H&R Block?
No, I wish. This is a person that was not licensed.
But I went to a woman when I was 24 to get my taxes done who showed up at her side door because she was screaming at me to not go to the front because she had two pit bulls who were about to attack me. And I went to the side door and she arrived like pulling back their heads without a bra on.
With enormous titties.
And they were in like a shelf by her waist. And toothpaste.
No, this is in Los Angeles.
Toothpaste all over her t-shirt. Hair a mess. And then I went into the back office.
Back house.
House, I'm sorry. And the place was in a state of
tatters. Food and texts
everywhere. And like kibbles on the ground. And
no,
it was.
Anytime there's pet food on the ground, Jessica,
you need to leave.
And pet fur. And it was just wild. It's a wild scene.
And I was like, I can't hand over my folder of receipts.
And she's 24. And I was older than you. I was probably 28. And I was literally like, here you go. Here's all the stuff.
Yes. But I summoned the energy.
But that's what I'm saying. She's always been a boss bitch.
Thank you, Danielle. But I summoned the energy. And I went to her because she's the only person I could afford.
Yeah.
And but I said to her, because she wanted to get started, and I said, I'm so sorry. I am uncomfortable with your professional demeanor. And she was like, oh, this is how I work. I work from home. I said, I absolutely understand that.
I can't do this.
But this is specifically a field that to me requires a lot of organization. And I want to feel like you're taking care of details. And I'm not getting that energy.
I'm so impressed. See, that's but the kind that's of energy that I didn't get to till 43.
That's what I'm saying. And so that's what, but that's also a feminine energy, using that's your instinct, using your gut reaction and moving forward. Whereas I think I was afraid to disappoint, to push back, to follow my instinct. Whereas now,
that's not the goddess.
That's not the goddess. And I think women especially have wonderful instincts.
Oh, God, well, yes.
And I think Heidi would talk about this as being a feminine trait of sitting back and saying, no, not you. You, mm-hmm. not that, not that, that. You know,
yes.
real true instinctual discernment.
And Jessica's that's the goddess stuff I feel like Kulop was saying I need to pull forward.
That's goddess work.
Like, and that's being saying, no, I don't want to do this. I'm going to say no because it doesn't feel right. Yes. I'm not going to try and please because ultimately if I do this thing that I don't want to do, you're not going to like it and I'm not going to like it. So let's not waste time.
You
know what
that.
I mean?
And so, and saying, I don't, this is what I'm worth.
Yes. Yes. And also just saying no, no.
And that's a complete.
And being sentence. Okay. And I don't have to tell you why. I just have to say no, thank you. No, no.
So Danielle, I was working on that this past year and it is challenging.
Very.
When
it feels
emails come in to simply say, I won't be able to attend. Right. I won't be able to do your podcast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I understand if you never want to do this one again, Danielle.
No, I know. I said, yeah, this is.
But I understand.
Yeah.
And it's hard to not say, ask again another time.
Yeah.
And I do think, because that was what I worked with last year. This year, what I'm bringing in is less work, more devotion.
Ooh,
What does that mean? Give me more. Give me more.
That means, and this was given to me from Heidi Rose Robbins for this year's sort of mantra. I can get very overwhelmed with work. I'm a Capricorn. We love to work.
As
like
am
to
I.
Heads as down. As are I. you. So you understand mm-hmm. you're a worker bee.
Or like, worker
let's
bees.
Get to work. Mm-hmm. Let's get to work. But I can also feel really overwhelmed by it.
As can I.
It can be really serious for me. It can bring me down.
And I also try to put, I try to give everything the same amount.
Yes.
And that's not helpful.
Totally.
No, not good.
And so she gave me an image that was so beautiful, which is similar goddess energy of, I am a high priestess and I'm going to every day tend to the things I want to devote myself to. And like, tend to them, light those candles, be it Jane, be it Grace and Frankie, be it this podcast, be it whatever, my children. Mm-hmm.
But they don't run you.
No. And right? also it's not work because the idea of it as work is a bummer to me. Mm-hmm. But if I think of it as like, oh, I'm devoted to seeing this place grow. I'm devoted to my talent. Mm-hmm. I'm devoted to my children because I love them. That reframing really helps me.
I love that idea.
It's really nice. I like that.
Another word I'm going to put out there, and then we do have to wrap it up, but I want to put out there another phrase, which is radical positivity.
Ooh. Mm. I know radical acceptance.
I know.
Tell me what radical positivity is.
So much is happening in the world. I feel the need to start really sitting with enthusiasm and positivity about the future.
Yep.
And I just want to, I feel so clearly that there's just a choice here. Like I can completely implode in negativity and fear around the future, which is possible and reasonable, or approach it with a ton of
positive energy.
Go ahead, Danielle.
I was going to say, you also, what you do is, it's not just I'm going to be positive. You are, you work to make things positive.
Thanks, Danielle.
You do. You know what I mean? By creating this place, the things that you've done with FIA, you know what I mean? Like you don't just walk the walk. I mean, you don't just, talk the talk, but you talk the walk and walk the talk. But I mean, you are out there doing things. You are not so, and I'd like to do more of that.
Me too.
In the future. You know what I mean? And I followed your lead a little, like anytime you're like, there's this thing.
Yeah.
I try and sign up and get a part because it is so scary right now and awful and weird and lonely. But it's not
the
just
antidote.
Yeah, it's the as doing, and I don't just mean like tweeting and things like that, but I just mean like actually doing where people need help, where organizations need help. If you either money or doing or whatever, I think you do a good job of that, and that will help us being positive and positive action.
Right,
positive
and action, I think that it is a choice to be positive. I think people think that it's just a state of mind, and you either have it or you don't. But like radical acceptance is to constantly, they call, turning the mind back to the what is real, what is you always are going to want to kind of go towards denial, and radical acceptance means you're always turning your mind back to no, this is what's real. I think radical positivity is you're going to be pulled to go back to the negative, and you have to make a conscious choice to go positive.
If I could just make a quick request, and that is that we see those bangs again.
Ooh, Jess, I can't go here's a thing I'm going to say. I know you want this from me. I can't do this for you.
Come on, man.
Okay, we're getting very clear.
I cannot do this for you, Jess. I do not have the hair supply on my head
to make it happen,
so especially in this area where I have cowlicks. So I know what you want from me.
Can you at least send me a picture of what the bangs used to look like so I can look at them sometime?
Yeah, you have to blame Sydney. Blame my daughter for the loss of hair.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.